Well, everybody, welcome to episode 44 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, my first guest today was the longtime head coach of the Ankeny girls golf team. She guided the Hawkettes to 3 state championships and 9 conference titles in 31 years at the school. And last Thursday, Ankeny's annual tournament at Otter Creek was renamed in her honor. And she was also inducted into the Dick Rasmussen Coaches Hall of Fame, becoming the 8th member of the prestigious club. She is Tony Dickey. Tony, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. Well, that was certainly a special day for you on Thursday. You know, you received a couple of well-deserved honors. You know, was it an emotional day for you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It was exciting. I'm not sure it's really sunk in yet, honestly.
I'll bet. Well, I know you had a lot of family and friends there at the ceremony. You know, that had to make it even more special for you.
Yeah. Yeah, my folks flew in from Arizona, and both daughters took the day off to come back. So it was a pretty special day.
Now, are both your daughters still around here? Where do they live?
Our oldest lives in North English, and our youngest in Muscatine.
Okay. So they had to pay a little ways to travel, too, then.
Yeah, not too far, but...
Well, you told the story in your speech on Thursday about how you found out that you were going to be inducted into the Coaches Hall of Fame. You know, when Ankeny AD Brent Butcher gave you the news, you were surprised because you said you thought the hall was a, quote, boys thing. Now, you are the first female coach to be inducted, so that's obviously a great honor for you. You know, but did you really think, though, that you weren't eligible because you are, you know, a female coach?
No, not really, but I never expected to be inducted into this. I didn't know enough about it except that the famous coaches, you know,
sure,
with Coach Rasmussen. And so, yeah, I had no idea.
We certainly have a pretty impressive resume of your own, though. I mean, it never crossed your mind that you'd done enough to get in there, huh?
Not really. No, it really hadn't. I'm there for the kids.
Well, did you ever imagine when you became the girls' golf coach in 1987 that you would hold the same position for more than 3 decades?
No, probably not. You know, when I was asked to do it, Fred Smith was the AD at that time. And I just got out of college not too long ago and was working at Otter Creek. And obviously showed some interest in the game of golf, being out there all the time. So he just came and asked if I was interested, if I'd come in and sit and visit with him about it. And there I was.
Yeah. Now, had you planned on getting into coaching, though? I mean, was that part of your plan all along?
Well, I had my coaching authorization, but, you know, it just depended. I mean, I would if I could, you know, if there was an opportunity, I would have, but not necessarily.
Sure. I mean, well, I know I get a lot of people asking me sometimes, you know, did you plan on staying around Ankeny your whole life? It just kind of worked out that way. Is that kind of how it worked out for you? Just kind of worked out that way?
Yeah, yeah. I was born and raised here, and my folks have lived here their entire lives. And so, you know, after college, you come back and landed a good job at the golf course, and it was just opening at the time. So it was, you know, it was fun. It was, I grew up with the game of golf, so that made it even better.
Sure.
Because you like your job, you know.
Sure. Now, did you see very many changes in the sport over those years? Was there very many changes with the kids? Did the kids change much, you think, over the years?
Yeah, I think so. Things change as it went on. The kids just aren't the same. Their values weren't the same as what in the younger days. You know, dedication was there, where in my later years, it was just like, well, they're just there, you know, because mom told them to, or, you know. It wasn't the same as 20 years ago.
Yeah, but you have a lot more distraction these days, like these things, right?
Exactly. And they can't have those because, I mean, they're illegal on the golf course.
Right, right.
Try to take that away from a 16-year-old girl.
I'll bet. Yeah, you might get bit. Well, as long as you coach, you know, did you have a chance to coach, you know, maybe like mother-daughter combinations? Obviously, you coached a couple different generations there.
I don't think so. I don't think there was any mother-daughter. And there were some that had, right before I started, that played mm-hmm. for Terry Carlson. But as far as me having 2 generations, no.
Okay. Well, you also had a chance to coach your own mm-hmm. kids. You know, did you enjoy that, or was that kind of hard to juggle? You know, that coach parent, dichotomy mm-hmm. there.
It was okay for me. I think they might have struggled with it at times, but they handled it quite well. I mean, of course, they were home. You know, they heard it, both sides of it on the golf course and at home. But overall, it was good. I mean, that was awesome having your daughters play for you and travel with you, and especially when they were senior and freshman, so they were both there. So,
so how old were your kids when you first put a golf club in their hands, trying to get them to learn the game?
Probably two.
Yeah. Well, your teams enjoyed their greatest run of success beginning in 1999 when Sarah Gilbert became your first individual state champion. Mm-hmm. You had three more individual champs over the next 12 years, and your teams also captured a trio of state titles during that stretch, 2003, 2004, 2008. You know, do you think you did anything different as a coach, you know, to bring about that success, or do you think it was more a product of the talent that you had at that time?
Probably the talent. And the kids were, I mean, they wanted to be there. I mean, they weren't, you know, no, we don't want to practice, or do we really have to practice? It was like, can we practice? You know, and I don't think we see that as much anymore in our athletes. Mm-hmm. And, the kids loved it. The parents supported me. And it was fun. I mean, you know, during that time we had Operation State Champs ran by Kevin Beard, which was awesome because the kids could start swinging in January.
Sure.
You know, and he monitored it and videoed it. You know, I mean, he just took care of it for right up until our golf season started.
Now, was it easier for you guys to get practice time on the course, you know, way back in the day as opposed to now? I mean, as the game of golf became more popular, I know there's more demand for people to get on the course. So was it a little easier to get on the course back in the early days?
Oh, yeah. And when Kevin was there, I mean, he made it work for the golf teams.
Sure.
That was very important to him that we promote the high school golf as long as with the junior golf. We had availability. As of now, I'm not sure they get three tee times a night, you know. And
that's got to be tough.
That's 12 kids, and that's hard to rotate. I mean, my last year we had that. And you got to get some on the course and some on the range, and then you got to switch them. And, you know, it just makes for a long evening the kids as well as the adults.
Of course, you played for Dick Rasmussen during high school, so I'm sure, you know, he had a big influence on your coaching career. What was it like to play for him? You know, he could be pretty tough on the girls, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was very tough on us, but I respected him as much as I respected my parents. You know, and you just listen to him. I mean, it was just, that was just the way it is. And I respect him to this day with my highest, you know.
Sure.
And I said that out there. I was like, you know, he's always talked to me about calling him by his first name. And I said, I can't do that, coach, because you're my coach.
You just call him coach?
Yep. And I always have. And I, even to the, Thursday, he said, well, you can call me. You do know my first name. And I go, yeah, I know it, but you're coach to me and always will be. Yeah. So.
I know when I first started working here, you know, I'd call some of these coaches, and I was, you know, in my early 20s at the time. So, yeah, I'd call them Mr. Prezzetti and Mr. Rasmussen, you know. As I got older, it got easier to call them, you know, Dick and Jerry.
I even Coach Prezzetti, I still, if I see him, I say coach.
Sure.
I don't know, a little piece of respect that they've earned and deserve.
Sure. Now, do you think you adopted any of Coach Rasmussen's, you know, coaching philosophies?
Oh, probably some of the mental part of it, which is very important in golf. I mean, it's every sport it is, but in golf, it's a mental game. There's no question about it. And Coach Rasmussen, I mean, we were mentally prepared for practice or a game or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Classes. I mean, he was a teacher. You know, I had him in the classroom too.
Well, I know you credited much of your success to your longtime assistant coaches, Dwayne Sewer and Mike Weddingfeld. You know, it really helped you, to have that continuity in the program, didn't it?
Definitely. Definitely. And just to have their experience in the game of golf and, you know, to sit down and talk about different things and figure out how we wanted to do it, and they were awesome, both of them.
Well, I mentioned earlier that you had four individual champs in your career, starting with Sarah Gilbert. Mary Beth Bigel won a title in 2004, Abby Sunner won in 2006, and Beth Wagner won in 2011. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you to tell me, you know, who the best player was, but how did those girls compare to each other? You know, were some of them better, you know, off the tee, some of them better on the green? You know, was maybe one of them better with, like, the mental aspect of the game?
They were all about the same. I mean, you have to be mentally, and you have to be able to drive the ball, and they could recover if they had a bad shot. That's the difference between an outstanding golfer and a great golfer. Mm-hmm. They knew how to, if they had a bad tee shot, what they had to do to make up for that. And those four could do that. I wouldn't say that one of them was better than the other, because they all were.
They're all great.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. It was just, they just knew the game, and they worked at it.
Well, and speaking of the mental aspect of the game, you know, I can't tell you how many kids, you know, have told me over the years what a demanding sport golf is mentally. You know, would you agree that the game is more of a mental challenge than it is physically?
Oh, definitely. But you have to be physically. I mean, nowadays it looks like they use pull carts. You know, back in the day we didn't. You carried your bags, and mm-hmm. To me, those pull carts look harder to push than they do to just put it on your bag and go, but,
sure.
Or on your back, you know. But, I mean, yeah, there's physical to it, but it's definitely a mental game.
Sure. Well, in 2013, you had a decision to make when Ankeny Centennial opened its doors for the first time. You could have elected to go to the north side like many of the coaches did, but instead you decided to stay at Ankeny, you know, even though you could probably see that there was going to be, you know, maybe less talent on the south side. You know, was that a difficult decision for you?
No. No, I was a Hawkett, and I was going to stay a Hawkett. I just couldn't change. I just couldn't do it.
Even
knowing that the stronger team would be North, because they have the golf courses, you know, and the kids that live on the south side don't live on a golf course or don't have that opportunity. If they did, then they'd be going North. It wasn't a hard decision at all.
Sure.
I mean, it was easy.
Well, I'm hoping to get out to Briarwood this afternoon to take in part of the Ankeny versus Centennial duel. And the Jaguars have certainly had the upper hand in the rivalry, you know, since the split. But I'm sure you're happy for the success, you know, that they've had. And you probably feel like, you know, you've played a small role in it, you know, don't you? Haven't you coached some of those kids, you know, in camps and things?
Yeah. Well, and not now, but, you know, some of those kids last year graduated that played for me before the split.
Sure.
You know, and that wasn't easy, you know, for that split. You know, you played for Coach Dickey this year, but now you're going North and you're going to play for a different coach, you know, and then you play each other and you're like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard. The first couple of years were really hard on the kids as well as the adult coaches. I mean, I struggled with it.
It was an adjustment for everybody, for sure. Now, when you were coaching those last few years, you know, did you see much of a rivalry, you know, between the two schools? You know, because in golf, it's more of an individual sport. You know, the kids are playing against the course. They are playing against each other, but they're really playing against the course. And it's different than, like, in football, where they're trying to physically beat each other up, you know. So did you see much of a rivalry there, or is it more of a friendly rivalry?
It was friendly. Because the first year of the split, we really tried to keep the kids together, you know, do little social things with both teams, just because it was hard to split them and not ever be able to play with them at practice. You know, we'd have them come out, have Centennial and Ankeny both together at a practice and just kind of mix it up and go have fun, go play a four-person best shot, or just to keep that continuity there with the kids. Because I didn't want them to not like each other.
Sure. Oh,
just because they played for a different team in Ankeny.
Sure. Well, here are some of the other awards you received, you know, during your career. You were a two-time CIML Coach of the Year. You were the District Coach of the Year in 2008, as well as the National Coach of the Year in 2008. You know, so what have you done with all these awards? Do you have a big display case in your home?
Well, we have an office, and they're all hanging on the wall in there. So.
Well, it's got to be a pretty big case there to hold all these things.
And it's four walls.
Well, after coaching for so long, you've now been retired for, you know, a couple of years. You know, mm-hmm. Do you miss it at all?
I do at times. I guess we spend more time with the grandson now, you know, because I do have that availability, and you know, people don't realize what coaching entails. I mean, it takes a lot of time, and it's not just 3 months out of the year. You do it 12 months out of the year, and I miss the kids. I don't miss all the paperwork and all that other stuff that goes along with it.
Sure.
You know, the scholarship stuff and contacting colleges and trying to get the, you know, the kids money so they can play college golf. But as far as the kids, yeah. But I've kept in contact with the ones that are Ankeny. I mean, we still see them, and they still, you know, I see them in the hallways, and they'll come up and go, "Hey, coach," you know.
We probably don't miss some of those, you know, 30-degree days when you're not trying to get out there and practice, huh?
No. Like last Thursday, it was like, "Do you want to go out for a ride?" I don't think so. I think I'll hang out in here where it's warm and dry.
Too bad every day is like today. Boy, what a beautiful day today.
Perfect out there, yes.
Well, I know you're still busy working at Ankeny High School, so you aren't fully retired yet. You know, do you know how much longer you plan to work?
A couple more years. Mm-hmm. So.
And then what are some things you're looking forward to doing, you know, in retirement?
Traveling, just hanging out, hopefully get these knees fixed so I can play golf again, and so just enjoying life.
Sure.
I mean, that's what it's all about, where we're still young enough to do that.
Sure. Well, Tony, thanks a lot for coming in today. Yeah. Really appreciate it. I've enjoyed the conversation.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 for questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my next guest was a standout player on the Ankeny girls golf team who helped the Hawkettes to a pair of state championships. In 2006, she was also the Class 4A individual state champion while leading her team to a runner-up finish. Now she is a chiropractor here in Ankeny. She is Abby Sunner-Rickelman. Abby, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, I know you attended the ceremony on Thursday at Otter Creek when the Ankeny tournament was renamed in honor of Tony Dickey, and she was also inducted into the Dick Rasmussen Coaches Hall of Fame. You know, we just got done visiting with Coach Dickey, and she talked about, you know, what an emotional day it was for her. You know, what kind of emotions were you feeling that day?
Excitement for her. I mean, she's put 31 years in, and she was a wonderful coach. And I just put a, like, every time we were able to be around her as players, we always had a good time. And I just really felt this honor for her to be able to get that award. So,
well, you obviously enjoyed a great high school career under Coach Dickey. You know, what was it like to play for her?
It was great. I mean, yeah, obviously I had a really great career, and I enjoyed high school golf so much, and it was in part due to Tony, just because she, yes, she was a coach, but she knew really how to help us have a good time. And I think that's really what high school sports are all about, and sometimes things get missed and people get really intense, and I think that obviously we should be intense and enjoy the sport, but she knew how to really just foster this experience of fun and joking around, yet lay the law down when we needed to be whipped around a little bit. So,
now, how old were you when you first started playing golf, you know, and what did you like about the game?
I was, I think, 5 maybe when I got my first club. My dad would probably be the better historian with that one. But what got me into the game, is that what you asked me?
Well, what did you like about it, by
okay.
the way?
I am one of those, I guess I'm self-disciplined, so I'm kind of a go-getter. And I just liked the aspect of how much time I put into it is what I get out of it. And so not that I don't love team sports, because I do, and golf became a team sport, which I actually loved, but I grew up with it more of an individual type sport. So the work I put in is the product I got back out, and I could experience that with golf, so.
Now, I remember you were already a pretty good, you know, golfer when you joined the high school team, so it wasn't like Coach Dickey had to teach you the game or how to swing a club. You know, in what ways do you think she helped you, the, you know, the most during your career?
She was my voice of reason. So I would, obviously golf can be a up and down sport. She was cool, calm, and collected, and she just always was there to support me no matter if I was doing good, bad, and whatever the situation was. She was there on that tee box, ready just to talk me down or talk me up, whatever needed, and just had the right words when I needed it. So.
Now, what are some of your favorite memories, from playing at Ankeny? I imagine winning the individual state title, has to be towards the top of the list.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun in practices, honestly. We had to get down to business and do what we needed to do, but we had a ton of fun just goofing around just enjoying the outdoors with what it was. And the state tournaments obviously were a good time. We had great times at regionals and things like that, too. I can vividly remember us staying at a hotel, and the other girls, I was very serious, I think, and they were freshmen, and they're coming and jumping on my bed, and I'm telling them to get off. And so, I don't know, we just kind of messed around and had a really good time. And I think that's what it was all about. And, I was really serious going into high school golf. But I think high school golf allowed me to, and Tony and what she fostered, allowed me to chill out and just enjoy the game for what it was and enjoy the people for who they were. And I appreciated that.
We then went on to play in college at Kansas State, where you were the team captain the last 2 years. What attracted you to K-State?
That's a great question. Kansas State is very much similar to Iowa and Iowa State, and I wanted to get out of state just because I wanted to spread my wings a little bit. But there was something very homey that felt good about Kansas State. I visited some other colleges and did some recruiting visits, and there was just something very comfortable about it for me. And the other thing, this had nothing to do with my my golf game, but I think my mom had some piece at this. My Coach Knight, was also diabetic, and I just had found out I was diabetic. And so it was really comforting to my mom to know that, like, she's going to be taken care of. She's not going to be thrown out into college newly diagnosed with diabetes and not know what to do. So.
Well, I definitely want to talk to you about your diabetes diagnosis here in a little bit. But you mentioned wanting to get out of state maybe a little bit. Did any of the Iowa schools recruit you at all?
They did. I honestly didn't approach them. So I didn't get a lot from them. A little bit, I would say most from UNI. And I don't know why. It was one of those things. I didn't reach out to them, so they probably didn't just come back towards me. So UNI, Coach Bermel and I had quite a few conversations, and then Colorado State was the other one I was really heavily talking with, and it was probably between Colorado State and Kansas State for me. And I love Colorado, so I would have loved being there too, but Kansas State was a wonderful choice for me.
Well, I know you guys can't see Abby on this podcast, but she's rocking the Kansas State colors today with the purple, so you look good. Well, after you graduated from chiropractic school, you and your husband Aaron moved on to North Carolina for a couple of years. So what brought you guys back to Ankeny?
Aaron was the same way, my husband. We wanted to spread our wings, quote unquote, and like get out of the Midwest, so we went to North Carolina, and we were there, and we decided that we were going to be married for a while, and we'd decide if we want to stay there. And if there was something about it that just did not feel like home to us. And so we said, oh, we'll wait and, till we're married for a few months, and then we'll decide. Well, we got married at Jester Park, and we were driving back to North Carolina, and we literally made it to the Bass Pro Shop in Altoona, right on the interstate there. And we were dead silent the whole time, just married, dead silent. And I looked at him and I go, you want to talk about the elephant in the room? He's like, yeah, when are we moving here? So I don't know. There's something very special about Ankeny. I said I'd never move back here. And I think it's when you get away from the things that you have that you realize how much you really had. And Ankeny is a very, very special place to me. Obviously, I moved back here. We considered other places, but it didn't hold a candle to what Ankeny provides. And so, yeah.
When I was talking to Tony, we had something in common because, she ended up spending her whole life here. And I get asked that question, too, since I grew up here. Like, oh, did you plan on spending your whole life here? And it's like, I didn't, but it just kind of worked out that way.
Yeah.
And I have no complaints.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, do you still play a lot of golf, these days?
I wish I played more. I adult. So I don't know. So I wish I played more. I get to play probably every couple weeks in the summer. Sometimes every week. It just kind of depends on the situation. So unfortunately, work gets in the way once in a while, and it's not a problem. It's just life. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know you've also served as a volunteer assistant coach for the Ankeny Centennial girls team. Do you think Coach Dickey had any influence on you wanting to become a coach?
Yeah, I think she did. You know, again, that whole vibe and atmosphere that she brought to our team is what I wanted for the high school athletes. And so that's kind of what I brought to them. And, you know, I think that people wanted me to be a volunteer or even coach or whatever just because of my experience. And I didn't look at it that way at all. I wanted just people, them to know that they're out for a fun sport, to enjoy their experience, to get to know some of these girls, to learn the sport, to learn sportsmanship, and enjoy themselves and be goofy. So,
well, do you have any aspirations to become a head coach at some point or do some more coaching?
I would love to. The unfortunate thing is my schedule just doesn't allow it. If it does at some point, I would love to pursue that. Unfortunately, I see patients until like 6 o'clock at night. And so early on in practice, I was able to kind of escape a little bit and get away from that. As we got busier, it just became near impossible for me. So if that becomes of an opportunity at some point, I would love to.
Well, I was reading your bio on your website, and I know your dream as a young child was to become a professional golfer, but at some point in your life, you know, you felt yourself being pulled in a different direction. Can you talk about, you know, that and what led you down a different path?
Yeah, I actually vividly remember being in the car with my mom and dad, and we were kind of having this conversation. It was in college sometime, but we were just talking about the future and what led to where I was going to go. And I actually had read a Bible verse in 2 Corinthians 1 that talks about God comforts you so you can comfort others. And I realized how much I'd been through and health-wise. I was diagnosed with diabetes. I have celiac disease. And I've been through a lot of health things. It became my mission basically to be able to provide some sort of health care back to others. And I realized that the purpose I can have in doing something like that, as opposed to going on to be a professional golfer, which would have been great, and there's plenty of wonderful things I could have done with that too. But I found myself having passion for that.
Well, I'm certainly interested in hearing your story. My dad had diabetes, you know, his whole life. So how old were you exactly when you had your diagnosis?
18.
18.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, do you feel like you had the talent, though, to play professionally? If you had pursued that dream, do you think you had the talent?
Yeah, and you know, it's hard because, you know, as I had my aspirations change a little bit as I grew older, I guess, maybe my head wasn't probably there as much as it should have been, but I do. If I would have been able to put the hours in and all that type of thing, I think I could have gone that direction. I don't think my head was there, though. So if your head's not there, it doesn't matter how talented you are, you're not going to get there.
We also read in your bio that, you know, after your diagnosis, you dove eagerly into researching, you know, for more understanding of why our culture is plagued with chronic disease and illness, you know, not only for your own sake, but to help, you know, change the lives of your patients. And I also know from some of your Facebook posts that I've seen that, you know, you've become a workout fiend now, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely the truth. So, yeah, I not only do I obviously I'm a chiropractor. We do a lot of like sports rehab. And so which people would see as physical therapy, but it's a lot of like sports types, exercises and things like that. So we do that. But on the same token, I'm very much love to promote health and wellness to patients because I think that that's the demise of our culture right now is we have a ton of, you know, sugar in our world and just so many things. People are very sedentary. You've got sedentary jobs. You've got video games. Kids are playing more video games than they are doing sports anymore. Actually, it's interesting. I feel like we have two things. We have very, very intense on sports, and we have people who just sit and do nothing. So I think there's a happy medium there. But anyways, I think it's becoming a major problem. And if you look at chronic disease, it's only skyrocketing in our country. And you see all of these things I was talking about just on the rise as well. And so I don't know. It's my hope that I can impact people and let them realize, you know, it's what you do every single day. It's what you put in your mouth every single day. It's how you exercise every day that can really change your life for the better.
Well, I know the challenges that my dad faced as he got older. You know, he certainly had some, you know, but everything's good with your health then right now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's really, really good. And, A1C is a great measure of diabetes. And so I'm able to keep it extremely low just by, I eat fruits, vegetables, lean meats, nuts. I eat everything from the land and I exercise every day. And it's kind of amazing how your body responds when you just put the appropriate things into it. And like I said, exercise and that type of thing. So
we certainly look very healthy. What kind of workouts do you like to do then? Just stay in shape.
I love to do CrossFit. That's something I found after college. It's fun because I'm competitive, so it gives me a little competitive vibe. It's also different all the time. It's always varied. Something, you know, they'll put something up that we're going to be doing that's 100% different from what we did last week. And then I also run. So I'm running the Dam to Des Moines half marathon here coming up. So I like to mix it up a little bit.
Sure.
So.
Well, good luck with your race. I've done that race a few times myself. I'd like to do it again sometime.
Yeah.
But, well, hey, Abby, thanks a lot for coming in today. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office here at Iowa Realty closed in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. We'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.